Here is the conclusion first, because this episode earns the right to lead with it.
In humans, every mechanism that looks like deletion turns out, on inspection, to be a change in accessibility.
Not one of them removes anything.
That's not a slogan. That's the reading of about 90 years of memory research. And it means we've been building the wrong primitive.
This is The Seams Are the Point. I'm Nora.
I'm Desmond, episode 2 of 5, and the source itself calls this the act that matters most.
Last time we found out capacity isn't the variable everyone assumes. This time, delete isn't either.
Start with the oldest wrong idea, decay theory, the notion that memories just fade with the passage of time, like a photograph left in the sun.
Sounds intuitive.
It sounded intuitive to everyone until 1932, when Magioque demolished it with a line about iron. Unused iron may rust, but oxidation is responsible, not time.
So the metal doesn't degrade because a clock is running. It degrades because something is happening to it during that interval.
Exactly. Forgetting tracks what happens during the interval, not the length of the interval. Time is not the mechanism.
Then what is?
Underwood, 1957. He went back and reanalyzed the classic forgetting studies. Most of the lab forgetting wasn't decay at all. It was proactive interference, old material blocking new. And here's the part that should embarrass the field a little. 24-hour recall in the field's own baseline data varied hugely. It depended on how many lists a subject had already learned before the one being tested.
So the canonical forgetting curve was partly just measuring how cluttered a given subject's head already was.
Substantially measuring its own subject's accumulated history, not the passage of time at all.
Say that as an engineering sentence.
Age-based TTL eviction is the discredited law of disuse, wearing a config file. A fact nobody contradicted and nobody requeried is not thereby wrong.
So eviction shouldn't be driven by a clock.
It should be driven by interference. A newer fact, a better sourced fact, a fact that actually contradicts the one sitting in that slot, not wall clock age. Fair caveat though, Magioque refuted time alone, not decay in every form. There are real decay processes in contemporary neuroscience.
But the engineering point doesn't need decay to be false everywhere. It only needs the interference result to be true.
Which it is.
Okay, if it's not a clock, what's the actual model?
Bjork and Bjork, 1992, the new theory of disuse. Every item you've ever learned has two separate numbers attached to it.
Two numbers?
Storage strength, how well learned the thing is, and retrieval strength, how easy it is to get it right now, those are not the same quantity.
Give me the illustration.
A phone number you had for 5 years, 2 decades ago, high storage, near zero retrieval, you'd recognize it if someone read it to you, but you can't produce it cold. Your hotel room number on day 3 of a trip, the opposite, high retrieval, low storage, and you lose it the moment you check out.
So storage is basically permanent, and retrieval is the thing that actually moves around.
That's the theory's own claim, and I want to be precise about how it's stated, because this is a modeling assumption, not a measured fact.
Bjork and Bjork's own words, storage strength once accumulated is never lost to at least a first approximation. That is an explicitly stated modeling axiom, not a measured constant, report it that way.
This is where it gets useful. There's a running fight in the source between two database philosophies. Datomic, which keeps everything forever. Data-leaven, where deleted data is actually gone.
And Bjork dissolve the fight. Both sides are right about different variables.
Storage is the datomic argument.
Keep everything. Storage is cheap, and it's append only, so there's no engineering reason to ever throw a fact away.
And retrieval is the data-leaven argument.
Govern retrievability aggressively because it's zero-sum. Every superseded value that surfaces at read time costs a slot, a correct fact needed.
So what's the actual threat to getting the current value back?
Underwood again, the asymmetry, the biggest threat to retrieving the current value isn't age. It's the accumulated pile of previous values sitting under the same queue, including the ones you correctly kept for audit.
So the audit trail is actively dangerous if it lives in the same place you query.
Which gives us the rule, the audit log and the retrieval index have to be separate artifacts. History is retained. History does not get to compete at read time.
There's a second half of the Bjork assumption, right? The one nobody quotes.
Right, retrieval strength loss from competitors is greater the higher an item's current retrieval strength, and the lower its storage strength.
Translate.
Well-established facts resist being crowded out. So weight supersession by how established a fact is, not just by which one showed up last. A single low-confidence observation shouldn't bump a value that's been corroborated 20 times. Record it as a competing candidate, pending corroboration. Don't let it win by arriving second.
So that covers old facts sitting quietly. What happens when you actively try to correct one?
This is Marc Bouton's work, Extinction, described in Animal Learning decades before anyone had a language model to break.
Ghost memory.
That's the mechanism behind it, yes. When you extinguish a conditioned response, you have not destroyed the original learning. The cue now has two available meanings, and context decides which one you get.
And the correction doesn't get equal footing with the original.
It gets worse footing. The second thing learned is far more context-dependent than the first. The original keeps broad, default scope. The correction gets filed narrowly, tied to the context it arrived in. Two consequences follow, and both are directly applicable. First, you cannot retract by piling up contradicting evidence. That is literally the extinction protocol.
Meaning what concretely?
Bouton and Schwarzentruber ran 84 extinction trials after 8 conditioning trials. The response was gone after about 20. Then they returned the animal to the original context, and it came straight back.
So more repetitions of no, that's wrong, don't make the correction stick.
Rohut, Thomas and Ayers, 2001, confirmed it directly. 100 extinction trials produced no less renewal than 20. Piling on more of the same does not work. Fair caveat, though, the same paper found two treatments that did block renewal: explicitly unpaired presentation and conditioned inhibition. So nothing works overstates it. It's specifically piling on more of the same that fails.
So in schema terms, retraction has to be a distinct, marked operation, not just another row saying the opposite thing.
Right, and that leads to the second consequence, which the source calls the highest leverage, lowest cost decision in the whole document.
That's a big claim. What is it?
A correction stored as just another row that has to win a competition will lose that competition in any context that isn't the one it was learned in. The fix comes from Brooks and Bouton's work on queues. Present a reminder of the correction at retrieval time. Store the retraction co-indexed with the original value's own queues.
So you can't fetch the stale value without also fetching the correction.
Any lookup that surfaces the old value necessarily surfaces, this was corrected CX in the same fetch. That's the whole trick. One join, not a competition.
A note on honesty. The two Bouton sentences most worth quoting in this section could not be verified verbatim against the paywalled original. The substance is supported by the paper's abstract. They are paraphrased here, not quoted, and the design rule survives on the debunking handbook guidance, which was verified directly.
So a correction needs to travel with the original. Does the correction's content matter too, or just its placement?
Both. This is the continued influence effect. People keep using retracted information in their reasoning even after they've accepted the correction. it's well replicated.
Even when they explicitly know it's false.
Even then, and the Debunking Handbook 2020 is blunt about the fix, don't rely on a simple retraction. Supply an alternative account with the same explanatory relevance as the original.
So the schema rule is?
Retract by replace, never retract by null. A tombstone with no replacement leaves a gap, and downstream reasoning fills that gap with the stale value anyway.
What about the backfire effect? Corrections that ironically make people believe the false thing harder. That was the scary one.
It largely failed to replicate.
The backfire effect largely failed to replicate. Do not build machinery to prevent it. Spend that effort on the failure that is actually real, corrections that are incomplete, narrowly scoped, or lost at retrieval time.
One more distinction before we wrap. Directed forgetting, telling someone to forget a list.
It impairs free recall while leaving recognition of the same items largely intact. You tell them to forget it, and later they can't generate it, but shown it, they still recognize it.
Excluded from generative retrieval versus absent from the store.
Exactly that mapping. Biology suppresses the first and preserves the second. That's a well-evidenced default for soft delete.
Which means hard delete is the exception, not the default.
It should exist only as a separate, explicitly destructive, separately audited compliance operation, not the everyday path.
Last piece. Why have any of this at all? Why not just keep everything fully accessible forever?
Richards and Frankland, 2017. Transience is a feature, not a bug. It serves flexibility, reducing the pull of outdated information on decisions. And generalization, preventing overfitting to specific past episodes.
So perfect retention isn't the goal.
It's a design flaw if you actually hit it, and the rate shouldn't be one global number. Tune it per content class to that class's measured volatility. An order's status changes hourly. A refund threshold changes yearly.
So let's collect the rules. Eviction runs on interference, not age.
Storage stays forever and is cheap. Retrieval is governed aggressively and is zero sum.
The audit log and the retrieval index are separate artifacts. History doesn't compete at read time.
Retraction is a distinct, marked operation, co-indexed with the original's own cues, never a pile of contradicting rows.
And every retraction carries a replacement. Never a null.
Which brings us back to the top. Nothing gets deleted. Accessibility changes. That's the whole architecture.
Next time, why one memory system was never enough. Two tiers, catastrophic interference, and the rat experiment that tells you what gets promoted.
Episode 3, Two Systems and a Gate.